I have a small business.
Small business.
I run from home, and then I also work as the warehouse chick for New Zealand Whiskey.
Awesome.
Busy, busy.
And now you're on an advocate for Horse for Life as well. So.
Yes. My life is full.
So that's the wee intro to Laura. But
thank you.
We're looking forward to what you have to say.
Brilliant. Thank you. Right. I'm used to holding something, so if you can't hear me, tell me to speak up. So Phil's done a great job of introducing me. I have three kids, oldest being 7, 5, and 3, so it definitely keeps me well and truly busy. The lovely Jude back there, where she is, I spotted her, actually delivered them all, most of them anyway, which is my lovely midwife, so it was great to see you, Jude. I joined Voice for Life about 18 months ago. I need to magnify my screen because I'm getting blind. I joined Voice for Life 18 months ago. I randomly showed up at the annual general meeting. I can't remember why I decided to go. It could have been something to do with the fact that they were offering free lunch. Free food gets everyone, doesn't it? When I arrived, I noticed that my generation was quite non-existent within this cause in North Otago, which I found surprising. Statistically, my age group is the most likely to opt for an abortion, and I felt really strongly that I needed to be a voice to my peers that were in crisis and to show them that there is love and support for them, no matter what decision they end up making at the end. So apparently, according to Phil, I'm allowed to talk for as long or as short as I want. My husband had a great joke that he reckoned I should just stand here until you all sign up. And so it could be up to you guys how long I talk. You know, the line can start there and we can just go for it. But today I do want to share with you some facts and some articles about abortion, euthanasia, and most importantly, God's view on life and how we can reflect that. Sometimes as a Christian, we can feel pretty helpless to change the world around us. We can feel pretty isolated, especially when laws that are passed are completely crazy, the most recent being the euthanasia law. So between the 7th of November 2021 and the 30th of June this year, 2022, so that's roughly about seven months, I think, my math's right, 400 people applied for assisted dying. As of the 30th of June, 101 people are still in the process of assessment or preparation for assisted dying. 153 people did not continue that process due to either being ineligible, withdrawing, or dying. But unfortunately, 143 of those people did have an assisted death. So I've got some fact sheets. I do have a bunch of them available if you would like to grab one after the service. It just has some information on it, facts, about exactly what euthanasia is and how dangerous it is. I'm going to read out a couple of little pieces from it. One of them here is called "A Right to Die Could Become a Duty to Die." The reality is that terminally ill people are vulnerable to direct and indirect pressure from families, caregivers, and medical professionals, as well as self-imposed pressure. They may come to feel that euthanasia would be the right thing to do. They don't want to be a burden, or they've had good innings, and it's not wanting to be a burden to their nearest and dearest. It's virtually impossible to detect subtle emotional coercion, let alone overt coercion, at the best of times. Next one that I have here is cost might drive the decisions. Sounds horrible, doesn't it? The End of Life Choice Act only provides a right to one choice, premature death. There is no corresponding right to palliative care. Good palliative care and hospice services are resource intensive. Euthanasia would be cheaper. A law change will introduce a new element of financial calculation into decisions about end of life care. This harsh reality is arguably the elephant in the room in the debate. For at an individual level, the economically disadvantaged who don't have access to better health care could feel pressured to end their lives because of the cost factor or because other better choices are not available to them. That's horrible when it's boiled down to that. How many people do you know that have received a diagnosis and a prognosis and have gone on to live long, fulfilling lives? It's just because a doctor says you've got X amount of months doesn't mean that that's how many months you've got. People can be wrong, and God is great. So it's a scary world that we live in, but thankfully God is in control. Even though this law is there, there are things that we can do to help. Now, because of my age, I'm equally as passionate about euthanasia and abortion, but I probably have more to say about abortion. That side of things is probably affects me more because of the fact that I'm in the age group where I know people that have had abortions. In 2020 in New Zealand, 13,246 abortions took place. Surgical abortions made up 59% of those, being about 7,800, which means mid to later term abortions. Unfortunately, it is really difficult to find statistics that are more recent, as abortions don't actually have to be recorded for the public anymore. So I do have an article that I would like to read out to you guys. Just a wee trigger warning, it could be found quite upsetting. I found it upsetting, and I've read it a few times this week. It's titled Baby Left to Die, and it's an article from June 2021, and it's actually been found on Right for Life UK. I couldn't find it on any New Zealand website. So the exact dates and names have been changed just to protect people's privacy. So the incident in which a child was left without medical attention for 2 hours after a failed abortion took place at a hospital in New Zealand and was witnessed by a healthcare student who has since been left traumatised from the ordeal. The healthcare student, we'll call her Nicola, said that the mother was over 21 weeks pregnant by the time she had the abortion. She's quoted to say, normally the late term abortion is performed on babies that have medical issues, but this baby was completely healthy. So instead of using infanticide injection to stop the heart from beating before expelling the baby from the womb, the mother was just induced. Because the baby's life was not ended before birth using feticide, it was more likely that at 21 weeks, the baby could survive the abortion. Nicola said that this was not uncommon, and in these situations, the baby was just left to die. We wouldn't do that to an animal. I was horrified, she said. According to the healthcare worker who witnessed the event, other healthcare staff called the death sad, but they tried to justify it by saying that the mother had financial and housing issues. We didn't empower this woman by leaving her child to suffer and die like that. When she left the hospital, she was still in need of support and help for her situation. All we did was end the life of her baby in a drawn out and cruel way. That's heartbreaking, isn't it? Like, if that doesn't give you the feels, I don't know what will. Women that have an abortion like that aren't generally offered mental or physical help afterwards. You're sort of left to find that on your own. It's a medical procedure. Thank you for your time. Off you go. Which is really heartbreaking because these women, after receiving an abortion, they're still broken. And if it's not affecting them right now, it will. I can guarantee that. I've had friends that have had an abortion, and my heart breaks for them. I obviously feel no judgment, only love and sadness that they felt that was their best option. But having a baby is hard. Pregnancy is definitely no walk in the park. For some women it is, and you have that beautiful pregnancy glow and you're just like, ah. You know, the birds twitter when you walk past. For me, I'm just like, thump, thump, thump. And it's like, oh, okay, 9 months is way too long. But it's a beautiful process and it's unique and different for every one of us women. There's this incredible woman in Auckland who, through her journey of having an abortion, she created a group called The Buttons Project. And I have some little flyers up here that I would encourage you to grab. Basically, what she's done is she had an abortion herself and realised that wee life mattered and that she wanted to commemorate that life in some way. And so she created The Buttons Project. Basically, it says on the front, which I reckon is really cool, what happened mattered, and a way to remember, to grieve, and to love towards healing from an abortion. So if you have had an abortion, if you know someone that has had an abortion, if you've been affected by someone that's had an abortion, come and grab one of these. If you've got a cool button, you can send it through and you can commemorate that little life, which is really cool. The cool thing about being pregnant, having a baby, is God's created this imprint, I suppose, on you. And it's called, excuse me while I butcher this word, fetal maternal microchimerism. Basically, it means that when a woman is pregnant, the cells of a baby migrate into a woman's bloodstream and then they circle back to the baby. That's what that process is called. I won't try and say the word again. For 41 weeks, the cells circulate and they merge backwards and forwards. And after the baby is born, many of these cells, they stay in the mother's body, leaving a permanent imprint on the mother's tissues, bones, skin, and often it stays there for decades. Every single child a mother has afterwards will leave a similar imprint on her body too. So even though a pregnancy doesn't go to full term, or if you have an abortion, these cells are still in our bodies. Research has shown that if a mother's heart is injured, fetal cells will rush to the site of the injury and change into different types of cells that specialise in mending the heart. Isn't it incredible? The baby helps repair the mother while the mother builds the baby. And that's often why some of you may know of women that have had certain illnesses and they've vanished while they're pregnant. Yay! Studies have shown that cells from a fetus or a baby in the mother's brain 18 years after she gave birth. That's incredible, isn't it? That even though we can sometimes make the decision to no longer continue our pregnancy, that baby is still there. That baby, you can't just be like, no, that baby didn't exist because it wasn't born alive. It was still there and it was still in you and still with you. So to me, abortion and euthanasia, they come down to a few fundamentals of Christianity. Does God care about all life? And does he ask us as Christians and followers of him to do the same? That's a resounding yes. In Philippians 2:4, it says, let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others as well. So it's clearly saying in the Bible to look after others. You're allowed to be nosy. I'm not saying that you have to go out, shout from the rooftops that you are pro-life. You don't have to be big and in your face about it. But if there is some small way that we can all unite and stand for something that's more important than ourselves, then I know God would definitely be for this. Voice for Life North Otago is a group of people who have decided to use their voice, their time, and their resources to literally be a voice for life. We are passionate and we want everyone to know that Voice for Life care about your life. We care about the mother that's in the crisis pregnancy. We care about the baby growing within her. We care about the father that has no say about what happens to his baby while it's in utero. And we care about that person that is ill and facing impossible life decisions. I'd like to say we've gotten a lot more active in the community within the last wee while. COVID kind of made that difficult for a while, didn't it? At the moment, we have a lovely committee member who has been busy making baby booties that we give to the maternity centre in town for all the new mums. We've just bought a cool trailer, it's blue, to place a pro-life billboard on. So if you see it around town, you should see it around town in the next month or so. If you see someone vandalising it, go and tell them to go away. You know, convert them, bring them to church. We're also going to be going to the Oamaru Farmers Market next Sunday, selling all sorts of goodies and produce. And if anyone here would love to contribute to that market, we would love to have your baking or your produce, any goodies that you would like to donate. I have an address that you can drop them off to, or there's also Frank as well. But come and talk to me afterwards if you've got some yummy baking, you know, your Nana's secret recipe that you want to donate would be great. The reason, I suppose, why I have been invited here today is because October is actually known as Respect Life Month. We, as a committee, are looking for people that want to be active financially within Voice for Life. We ask for $15 per year to help us promote life, offer support, and get word out that there are options for everybody, no matter your situation. And just to reiterate, I did mean to say $15 per year. It's not a week, it's not per month, it's not a huge amount of money that we're asking for. So it's in the grand scheme of things, it's maybe coffee and cake. You might have to go without it for 1 week. When those laws went through, a lot of us, we got quite despondent when they all changed. And it can feel like one person can't do anything. But you can. You can support Voice for Life financially and be a part of the difference that we're making. We're dedicated to building a culture where human life is valued and respected from conception till natural death, and we would like to ask that you partner with us. So I would love to talk with you more about the service. I've got these awesome handouts that I will put somewhere visibly, or I'll wave them in your face and tell you to take them, because I don't like taking things home. It gets lost amongst the children. But yeah, I'd love to talk to you about anything that you has touched your heart, or if you want to sign up, or if you've got some baking or produce, I'd love to have a chat with you. I would also like to acknowledge Frank for inviting me today. Thank you guys for having me as well. It's been a really cool opportunity to be given this platform, and yeah, I hope you guys have a great week and enjoy the holiday tomorrow. Thank you.